Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, oh, what a day that first Palm Sunday must have been. What a day it was for the disciples. Jesus sent two disciples to go ahead into the village and to gather a donkey and her colt so that he can ride on it. And the disciples found everything just as Jesus had told them. What a day it must have been for the people of Jerusalem. For as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the people spread their garments on the ground. They cut palm branches and waved them in the air, shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" What a day it must have been for the Pharisees. For when they saw the people praising Jesus, they became so furious that they told Jesus to make the people stop praising him. But Jesus said, "If the people stop praising me, then the rocks will cry out and praise me." What a day it must have been for Jesus to have all these people hail him as their king. Oh, what a day it must have been. But why are the people praising Jesus in this way? Why are they so excited? This isn't the first time that Jesus has entered into Jerusalem. So why are they praising him in this way? It's because they knew this prophecy from Zechariah. In this prophecy, Zechariah tells the people to shout aloud because their king is coming to them. But Jesus is a different king than what the people expected. So what kind of king were they expecting, and why were they expecting such a king? Well, you have to understand the context of Zechariah's prophecy. Zechariah lived about 500 years before Jesus was ever born. At this time, the kingdom of Judah has been completely destroyed by the Babylonians. The people went into exile for 70 years. But after those 70 years, they were allowed to return. They rebuilt their homes. They rebuilt Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple. But something was missing. They didn't have a king of their own. They were still ruled by various nations, nations such as Persia, Greece, and Rome. So even though they were allowed to return to their homeland, it still felt like they had lost everything. But here Zechariah comes to the people and he tells them to shout aloud and to praise God because a king is coming to them. And so in their minds, they thought that this king had to be an earthly, physical king. This king had to be like all their other previous kings, like David and Solomon. They thought that this king would come to Jerusalem to overthrow the Romans. But Jesus is a different king. And we see that he is a different king in various ways. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you." Think about that phrase. Your king comes to you. That's what makes Jesus a different king. A typical king of this world would not go to his people. He would remain in his palace and sit on his throne, and people would have to come to him. People would have to beg the king to listen to their pleas, and it was not always a guarantee that the king would allow anyone and everyone to come to him. But Jesus is a different king because he comes to us, and we needed him to come to us. Because by nature, we couldn't come to Jesus. By nature, we didn't want to come to Jesus. Even if we desired to come to Jesus, we still couldn't do it because there's a separation that exists between God and us because of our sins. But Jesus is a different King because He comes to us. He comes to us in His Word and in His sacraments. He sent the Holy Spirit to us to create faith and to bring us to Him. Jesus is a different King because He comes to us. But in what manner did Jesus come to us? A typical king, if he were to come to his people, he would come in all of his majesty. He would ride one of his prized horses or ride on a chariot to show just how superior and glorious he was than his people. That's what a typical king would do. But Jesus is a different king. See, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, it was not done in a glorious way. He came in a gentle way. He rode on a humble donkey. But this wasn't the only time that Jesus humbled himself in his life. As Paul wrote to the Philippians that we heard this morning, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, who being very nature God, humbled himself and became one like us. Look at Jesus' life and you will see just how true this is that he humbled himself. His birth was not really that glorious. His whole life was not really that glorious. And his death was certainly not glorious. But why does Jesus humble himself in this way? Humbles himself so much. It's because Zechariah said, our King comes to us as righteous and having salvation. He humbled himself by becoming one like us so that he could be righteous on our behalf. He humbled himself by becoming one like us so that he could die on the cross for our sins and to bring us his salvation. That's what makes Jesus a different king. For he comes to us in a gentle way. He humbles himself for us. He is righteous and he has salvation. Jesus is a different king. But also think about how Jesus is different than all of us. Paul told us that our attitude should be the same as Jesus. We are to humble ourselves as Jesus humbled himself for all people. Is our attitude the same as Jesus? Do we humble ourselves before all people? Those times that we don't allow people to come to us, but we tell them that we want nothing to do with them. Those times that we don't even humble ourselves, even to those who humble themselves before us. Instead, we stand up proud and think of how much better we are than them. Those times that we don't forgive people, even when they ask for it. Those times that we think we are righteous, even though we are completely not. Those times that we are not gentle with people, but we are very harsh with others and we treat them unlovingly. All of these times just shows how much of a sinner we are. Our attitude is not always the same as Jesus. We don't always humble ourselves like Jesus did. And that's why Jesus should have never come to us. But this didn't stop Jesus coming to us. When he came to us, he did not say, "You had your one chance and you failed." When Jesus came to us, he did not say, "You should have tried better." When Jesus came to us, he did not say, "I want nothing to do with you." When Jesus came to us, he did not say, "Your sins are not forgiven." That's what a typical king would do. But Jesus is a different king. When he came to us, he said, "Peace be with you." When he came to us, he said, "I am your Savior." When he came to us, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." When he came to us, he said, "Come to me because I love you." That's what makes Jesus a different king. But this isn't the only reason why Jesus is a different king. "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations." A typical king in his kingdom would use the forces of war either to gain more land for his kingdom or to get revenge or retaliate against a different nation. But Jesus is a different king. He does not use the weapons of war to fight against people. Instead, he comes to remove the weapons of war. He comes to proclaim peace to the people. And on the last day, Jesus will rid all warfare and fighting in this world. But even right now, Jesus gives us peace. Because our attitude is not always the same as Jesus, because we don't always humble ourselves before others, this has caused hostility between us and others. Because we didn't allow people to come to us, then others may not want anything to do with us. Because we didn't humble ourselves before others, other people will now no longer humble themselves to us. Because we haven't always been gentle with people, others may become harsh with us. Because we haven't forgiven people, other people will not forgive us. That's the hostility that exists because of our sins. But Jesus comes to give us peace. He gives us peace in knowing that our sins are forgiven through faith in him. And that peace, that forgiveness, moves us to have our attitude be the same as Jesus and to humble ourselves before others. This peace and this forgiveness motivates us to be reconciled with those that we have wronged so that that relationship can be rebuilt. And even if that relationship can't be rebuilt, we still have peace in knowing that we belong to Jesus. He loves us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And here's one final reason why Jesus is a different king. His rule would extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. To fully appreciate these words, we have to put ourselves into the mindset of the Jewish people. The greatest kings of Israel that ever existed was David and Solomon. During their reigns as kings, that border of Israel extended all the way up to the Euphrates River, which is the river that Zechariah mentions here. But eventually that kingdom began to dwindle, and by Zechariah's time, that kingdom no longer existed. And then Zechariah tells the people that the king that is coming to them, his kingdom will extend beyond the river, and his kingdom will extend throughout the whole world. This kingdom is only the kingdom that Jesus rules over. But his kingdom is not a physical kingdom. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom is Jesus ruling in our hearts through faith. This kingdom began to extend throughout the world when Jesus told his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that exactly has happened. People of every nation have heard about Christ and his grace and have been brought to faith. At our baptism, we became members of Christ's kingdom. And here's one more thing about Christ's kingdom that makes it different than all the other kingdoms of the world. His kingdom lasts forever. Not even the gates of hell can destroy this kingdom. And one day Jesus will fully and completely establish this kingdom in the new heaven and the new earth, where he will give us peace that lasts forever. He will make us righteous forever. And he will give us everything that we need in his kingdom. And oh, what a day that will be. On that day, we will praise Jesus as our King. We will confess that he is Lord because he's a different King. He is a King that comes to us. He is a King who is righteous and having salvation. He is a King who humbled himself on our behalf. He is a King that gives us peace both now and forevermore. And his kingdom will extend throughout the world and will last forever. For this reason, we say to Jesus, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Today he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.